This week's Parsha is Parshas Eikev, and we are going to start to analyze different verses on chapter 9. After the Jewish people did the golden calf, it's written there on Pasuk number 15, Vo'efer, and I turned, Vo'eret min ahar, and I came down from the mountain, Vo'ahar bo'er bo'esh, and the mountain is burning in fire, U'shnei luchos habriz al shtei yodoy, and the two tablets of covenant are on my two hands. We are going to ask two questions on this verse. The first question that we are going to ask is, why is it written the word vo'efen, that I turned? The verse could have just have written down vo'ered min ahar, I came down from the mountain, and further on what happened afterwards, and I broke the tablets. Why does the Torah write down the words vo'efen and I turned? And the second question that we are going to ask is that the verse writes down vo'efen, I turned, Vo'ered min ahar, I came down from the mountain, Ve'ahar bo'er bo'esh, and the mountain is burning in fire, U'shnei luchos habriz al shtei yodoy, the two tablets of covenant are in my hand. What difference does it make regards to the verse that the mountain is burning in fire? The Torah doesn't have to tell me that. It doesn't make a difference to our story. It could have just written down Vo'ered min ahar, I came down from the mountain, and the two tablets of covenants are in both my hands. Why is it written that the mountain is burning in fire? What difference does it make in regards to what happened, or in regards to what Moshe Rabbeinu is going to do? Then the verse writes down in verse number 20, Uvaharon isanat Hashem me'oid lashmidoy, and in Aharon Hashem became very angry to destroy him, meaning that he wanted to destroy. And Rashi writes down that because Aharon listened to you, therefore Hashem wanted to destroy him. Rashi explains, what does it mean to destroy him? Zeh kilui bonim, that means killing off all his children. And the verse continued, Vespalol gam bad Aharon bo'esahi, and I also prayed for Aharon at that moment. And Rashi explains that Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer helped that half the children were forgiven and half the children died. Nonetheless, we see from here that Hashem became angry at Aharon and wanted to destroy his children because of what Aharon did. And theoretically, this contradicts directly what is written in the Devarim chapter 24, verse number 16, where there it says, Lo yumsu avois albonim, that the parents should not die on the children. Rashi writes down that this means on the testimony of the children, uvanim lo yumsu al avois, and the children should not die on the testimony of their parents. Ish b'cheto yumasu, each person should die on his own sin. And Rashi explains that that means that a person should die by his own sin, that the children do not die on the sin of the parents, and the parents do not die on the sin of the children. Rashi makes an exception, that the Ketanim Meisim Bavoy Navidim Bidei Shoyim, that only minor children die at the sin of their father in the hands of heaven. But nonetheless, adult children clearly do not die by the sin of their fathers. And at this point, the four children of Aharon were adult children. Then how is it possible that Hashem wants to destroy Aharon's children when Hashem does not punish the children by the sin of the father? Then Sefer Shemirosh goes to chapter 10, verse number 12, where there it says, Ve'ato Israel, and now Israel, Mo Hashem Elokecho Shoyel Mimav, what is Hashem, your God, asking you? Kim Yiro Es Hashem Elokecho, only to fear Hashem, your God, Lo Aleches Bechol Derochov, to walk in all his ways, V'lahavo Oiso, and to love him, V'lavoit Es Hashem Elokecho, and to serve Hashem your God, bechol levavcho uvechol nafshecho, with all your heart and all your soul. And here, the Gemara Menachos, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis 43b writes down, Hayu Rab Meir Oimer, Rab Meir is to say, Chayev Adam Levorech Meo Brachos bechol yoim, that a person is required to make 100 blessings every day, Shenemar, because it's written here, Ve'ato Israel, and now Israel, Mo Hashem Elokecho Shoel Mimach, what is Hashem asking you? And Rashi explains that we learn it based on what's written, the word Mo, which is translated as what, and we're supposed to read as Meo, as 100. And Mefarshim ask why specifically here is alluded to the idea that you have to make 100 brachas every day. Why isn't it alluded somewhere else? And other question that Mefarshim ask is how do we learn from the word ma that it means Meo? Other places that it's written the word ma also means 100? Clearly not. Then why specifically here we say that the word ma means 100? In truth, Tosfos there explains that the reason we learn that's supposed to be 100 brachas, 100 blessings, is not from the word ma, is from the fact that there is 100 letters in this verse, and since there's 100 letters in this verse, and this is what Hashem is asking you, therefore Tosfos learns that you have to make 100 brachas. But we are going to give another interpretation why specifically here it's alluded to the fact that you have to make 100 blessings every day. Sefer Shemeroish answers these questions by first explaining that what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing in our parsha is going through all the excuses that he gave to Hashem why the Jewish people should not be punished. First, he brings what is written in the Medrash Rabbah, Shmos Parsha Mem Gimel Simen Aleph, and Shmos Parsha Mem Vav Simen Aleph, where there the Medrash Rabbah brings an example of a minister that met a woman and he wanted to betroth the woman, and he writes the ksuba for the woman, but he gives the ksuba to a good friend of the woman. And what happens is that this woman commits adultery and it came out a bad name on this woman. Then this good friend of the woman decides to tear up the ktuba that the minister wrote, and he tells the woman that I'm tearing it up because it's better that you be judged like a free woman than a woman that has a ksuba, that is betrothed. Therefore, says the Medrash, that this is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did. That Moshe Rabbeinu said that if I do not break the tablets, then the Jewish people won't have a leg to stand on. Because it's written in Shmos, chapter 22, verse number 19, Zoveach l'Elohim Yechrom, that anybody that slaughters to different gods should be destroyed. Therefore, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe Rabbeinu decided to break the tablets. And he told Hashem that they didn't know what is written in the tablets, therefore they are not guilty. And the Chasam Sofer explains in Pashas Kisisa, the Aluches Hoyu HaKidushin, that the Aluches were actually the document of betrothal between the Jewish people and Hashem. And they didn't get betrothed by the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu accepted this Kiddushin towards the Jewish people, only when the Jewish people received the tablets, that is how the act of Kiddushin, of betrothal, became complete. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu broke the tablets in order that the Jewish people should be judged as free people and not be judged as people betrothed to Hashem. So we see from this Medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the tablets because he wanted us to be like Pnuya, like unmarried, and like that we won't be punished as harshly for betraying Hashem. Another interpretation the Medrash brings down that Moshe Rabbeinu used as an argument in order that the Jewish people should not be punished when they did the golden calf is what is written in Medrash Rabbah, Shmos, Parsha Mem Zayin, Simon Tes. There the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu said in front of Hashem, why are you angry at the Jewish people? Not because they did idolatry. You never commanded them not to do idolatry. So Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that in the second commandment, where it says, Lo yelecha elohim acherim al ponai, that you should not have other gods in front of me, that is clearly a prohibition against idolatry. Then Moshe Rabbeinu tells Hashem, you did not command them, you only commanded me. Had you told the Jewish people in the plural, Loi Elohem, that they shouldn't have other gods, then you would have commanded them. But now that you said, Loi Elecha, that I shouldn't have, then clearly you were commanding only me. Then, true, if I did idolatry, then you have the right, Mecheni no Mesifrecha Asher Kosafto. You have the right to erase me from the book that you wrote. But since you didn't command the Jewish people, therefore you cannot punish them for going against your word. A way to understand this Medrash is to explain that in truth, Hashem knows that when He said, Lo yeh lecha Elohim acherim, that you should not have other gods, He knows clearly that He was speaking to every single Jew. And in truth, every single Jew understood that Hashem is speaking clearly to him. But since Hashem wants to forgive the Jewish people, and a father, when he wants to forgive his son, and the son does something that he could get away because technically it's not the words exactly like he meant it, in the same way that a father tells his child to do something but he doesn't word it in the exact way, then the child knows what the father means, but when the child does something bad, then the child will say that technically you didn't say exactly those words, therefore technically I am not going against your word. For example, it happened with me, my daughter, when she was reading a book in the living room and I told her that I wanted to go up to her bedroom at 11 o'clock, so she actually went up to her bedroom at 11 o'clock and she continued reading the book in her bedroom. Because since I technically did not say that she has to go to her bedroom and close the book and close the lights, she got away with it. Even though she understood when I told that I wanted to go up at 11 o'clock, that means that I wanted to stop reading and go to sleep at 11 o'clock. But since I didn't technically say the exact words, and since I want to forgive her, I let her get away with it. And that is exactly the same argument that Moshe Rabbeinu used in order that the Jewish people should not be punished. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Hashem knew that he was speaking to every Jew, but he also knew that Hashem didn't use the exact words to make sure that they can't get away with it. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu used this technicality to tell Hashem that you can't punish the Jewish people because you didn't say exactly the words to them, you only said to me, and I didn't transgress, so therefore you cannot punish them. And Mefarshim explained that this is exactly what is written in Shmos chapter 32, verse number 11, where there the verse says, Vaychal Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded as Pnei Hashem Eloikov, in front of Hashem his God. He doesn't say in front of Hashem the God, he says only in front of Hashem his God, because part of Moshe Rabbeinu's plea is that when you said, Lo yeh lecha Elohim acherim, you were speaking to him, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Am Hashem, your God, you're speaking only to Moshe Rabbeinu. So that was part of his argument. Therefore it says that Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded as Hashem Elokov, Hashem his God. And then he says, Lomu Hashem Yechreb Abcho Ba'amecha, why are you angry at your nation? Meaning you have nothing to be angry at your nation, because you did not tell him not to do idolatry, you only told me, you are my God, and you only told me. So do you see clearly that this was part of Moshe Rabbeinu's argument in order that the Jewish people should not be punished? Then Sefer Shemeroish brings the argument that the Gemara uses in Shabbos Daf Peiches Amud Aleph 88a in order that we should not be punished for doing idolatry. There the Gemara brings down that it is written in Shmos chapter 19, verse number 17, Vaisyatzvu Betachtisor, that the Jewish people stood underneath the mountain. The Gemara takes it to mean literally, meaning normally the verse means that the Jewish people stood in the bottom part of the mountain, but here the Gemara takes it to mean it literally. The Gemara says, Omar Rav Avdimi Bar Chasa, Rav Avdimi Bar Chasa says, Melamed, from here you learn, Shekofa Kodesh Baruch Aleihem Es Ha'ar Kagigis, that Hashem turned over this mountain as Aved, meaning that Hashem put the mountain over our head, and Hashem told the Jewish people, Im atem mekablim haTorah, if you are going to accept the Torah, then mutav, then it is very good, then you are going to survive. Ve'im lav, if you're not going to accept the Torah, shom tehei kavurascham, there you are going to be buried, which means that Hashem used the mountain as a tool to threaten us to receive the Torah. That if you not receive the Torah, Hashem is going to turn over the mountain over our head. Omar Ravacha Bar Yaakov, Ravacha Bar Yaakov says, Mikan, from here, Moido Rabbe Leoraisa, we have a good excuse for the Torah. Rashi explains that if we are going to be summoned to the heavenly court and ask, why didn't you perform the Torah that you accepted? Then we have a good excuse that we only accepted it under duress. We only accepted it because we are threatened by Hashem. We didn't accept it willingly. Therefore, we are not punishable for our not doing what we accepted. Tosfos asks, why does Hashem need to threaten us by putting the mountain over our head in order for us to accept the Torah? You already willingly accepted the Torah when we said Naaseh v'Nishma. We already had previously said the words Naaseh, that we'll do, v'Nishma, and we'll hear. Then technically you already previously accepted the Torah. Then why does Hashem need to threaten us by putting the mountain over our head? Tosfos answers that maybe we would have gone back on our word once we saw the great fire that came out, that it burned our soul. So therefore, we would have gone back on our word and we would have retracted what we accepted previously. Therefore, Hashem needed to put the mountain over our head to make sure that we are still going to perform the Torah. The next choices were discusses the Gemara that says, Mikan Moedah Rabbe Loraisa, that from here we have a good excuse when we do not perform the Torah, that we could say that we did it under duress. Tosfos asks, we actually did it willingly, because when we crossed over the Jordan, we went to Mount Gerizim, Mount Ebal, and there we said that cursed should be the person who will not uphold this Torah. Obviously, then we accepted willingly. Tosfos says that since this commandment is one of the commandments of the Torah, then obviously we only accepted it under duress, because Hashem told us to do this, but otherwise we wouldn't have gone to Har Gerizim, Har Ebal. So therefore, even though we accepted afterwards, but it was also still under the original duress. Then Tosfos says that in the days of Achashverosh, there, out of love of Hashem, without anybody forcing us or telling us, we accepted the Torah willingly. Tosfos then continues and says that even though in Yeshua chapter 24, we see that Yeshua made a covenant with the Jewish people, and there we don't see that there was any duress for that covenant. Tosfos explains that the covenant that Yeshua did with the Jewish people was only in regards that the Jewish people should not do idolatry, but not in regards that the Jewish people should keep the rest of the Torah. Therefore, comes out that the prohibition against idolatry became binding on the Jewish people, meaning that they don't have the excuse that they did it under duress only after Yeshua. But at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, they still had the excuse that they accepted not to do idolatry under duress, because only the time of Yeshua they renewed and made a covenant that they won't do idolatry. But at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, even though Hashem gave us already the Ten Commandments, but still, since that was under duress, therefore we are not punishable for that crime. Therefore, we have another excuse why we shouldn't be punished for doing the golden calf, because we only accepted that prohibition of not doing idolatry under duress. Sefer Shemirosh explains that the two excuses that Moshe Rabbeinu gave, and also the excuse that the Gemara gives, is alluded to in this verse that we just mentioned in the beginning of the parsha. He says that this is the reason why it's written Vo'efen that I turned, because Vo'efen does not come from the language turn. Vo'efen comes from the language penuya, that she is unmarried. Meaning Vo'efen, I made that unmarried by coming down from the mountain and breaking the tablets and breaking the document of betrothal between us and Hashem. I made it like a penuya, like an unmarried person. Therefore, you are not as liable as you would have been betrothed to Hashem. So therefore, I broke the luchas. And therefore, he continues and says, Vo'ered minahar, and I came down from the mountain. Meaning that I came down to argue with Hashem the fact that we were underneath the mountain, that we accepted this commandment because we were under duress. Even though we said Naaseh v'Nishma, we said that we will do and we will hear, which technically it means acceptance of the commandment even without duress. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said that this still does not count as anything, because as Tosfos says, that because of the great fire, you would have gone back in the world. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says The har boil boesh, and the mountain is burning in fire. Therefore, even though you said Nase v'nishma, and technically you accepted the Torah willingly, nonetheless, because the mountain is burning in fire, you got so scared that you went back from your word, and therefore now your acceptance was made under duress. Therefore, Hashem cannot punish you for idolatry, because we did not accept not to do idolatry until the days of Yeshua. And he continues, Ushnei lichas abris al shtei yodai, and the two tablets of commandments are on my hand, meaning that they are on me, that Hashem said to me and not to you, because they are shtei yodai, they only on my hands and not in the hands of the Jewish people. Therefore, this verse tells all the three excuses Moshe Rabbeinu gave in order that the Jewish people should not be punished. Again, vo'efen, the language is from Panuya, that I made you like an unmarried woman, and therefore vo'eret min ahar, I came down from the mountain, meaning that Hashem put the mountain over your head, and therefore you were under duress. Are you going to ask me, even though we said already Nasa v'nishma, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu says that v'har bo'er bo'esh, that the mountain is burning in fire, and as Tosfos explains, that because we saw the great fire would have retracted this idea of Nasa v'nishma, therefore Hashem had to force us, and therefore, since Hashem forced us, we have the excuse why we did the golden calf, and therefore he also continues and says, Ushnei lichas abris al shtei yodai, and the two tablets of covenants are on my two hands, because Moshe Rabbeinu is arguing that Hashem only commanded him and not the Jewish people. Now Sefer Shemeroj brings the Rashi on Bereshis chapter 5, verse number 32, where there it mentions, Vahi Noach ben Chamesh Meyoshono, that Noach was 500 years old, Vayolet Noach as Shem, as Chom, as Yafes, and Noach gave birth to Shem, Chom, and Yafes. And Rashi on this Pasuk asks a question, which is a question of the Medrash Rabbe, Parsha Chavov, Simon Beis, where the Medrash Rabbe asks a question, why everybody in that generation gave birth at the age of 100 and Noah gave birth at the age of 500. The Medrash says in the name of Rav Yudin that Hashem had a dilemma, that if Noah's children are going to be evil, then Noah's children are going to have to die during the floods. And if they are going to be righteous, then Hashem is going to have to build many arks in order to save them, since they are righteous. Therefore, Hashem withheld Noah from having children until the age of 500. Like that, Yafes, which is the oldest of the son of Noah, won't reach the age of 100 when the floods will come. Then he won't be at the age that is fit for punishment. Because since the verse writes down in Yeshaya chapter 65, verse number 20, Ki anar ben shono yomus, for 100-year-old lad will die, which means that Raul Oynesh, which means that only after 100 years old is fit for punishment. And Rashi said that is Le'asit, that is when Moshiach will come, V'chen Lifnei Matan Torah, and this is also the rule before the Torah was given, which means that before the Torah was given, the age of punishment was 100 years old. Therefore, Hashem made sure that Noah only gave birth at the age of 500. Like that, he will be 100 years old when the floods will come, which means Yafes will be less than 100. Like that, even if they are evil, they won't be punished by the flood. Which implies clearly that before Matan Torah, you were not punished until the age of 100. The Fei Toyar asks a question on this Rashi, that if it's true that Hashem does not punish until the age of 100 before Matan Torah, we know that Adam HaRishon sinned on the very same day that he was created. Clearly he was under 100, then how is it that Hashem punished him for his sin? The Efei Tohar answers that since Adam HaRishon was a creation of Hashem, and Hashem created Adam HaRishon full of das, full of knowledge, therefore he was punished because of that. Which seems to imply that before Matan Torah, in order for a person to have full wisdom, he had to be 100 years old. And therefore, Hashem does not punish unless you are 100 years old. But since Adam HaRishon was created with his full dose of wisdom, therefore Hashem punished him. The Efei Tohar continues and says that according to this Rashi, we have to say that when Cain killed Hevel and he was punished for it, he had to be over the age of 100. But Mefarshim asks a strong question on this Rashi. Mefarshim asks, How can Rashi say that anybody under 100 is not punished when clearly there was a flood in the world and the flood killed every person on the world besides Noah and the people that were in the Teva? And if you want to add Sichon and Oig, we'll add Sichon and Oig, but anybody else died. And if I say that everybody else died, that obviously must include even people that were less than 100 years old, because it is impossible that in the whole population of the world there weren't people that were less than 100 years old. That means that Hashem punished those people even though they were less than 100 years old. Then we see that the heavenly court does punish people that are 100 years old. Therefore, Mefarshim explained, based on the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Samach Amud Aleph 60a, where there the Gemara analyzes the verse that is written in Shemos, chapter 12, verse number 22, where the verse says, "V'atem en you lo yiseitzu ish mil Pesach beiso ad boiker," that you should not go out from the door of your house until morning. And the verse is discussing the plague of the death of the firstborn, that the Jewish people were not allowed to leave their houses until morning. And the question is, why aren't the Jewish people permitted of going out during the night? And Gemara says that Kivin Shinita Reshus Lamashchis, that once the destroying force had given permission to do damage, Ein Mafchin Bein Tzadikim L'Reshaim, he cannot distinguish between righteous people and evil people. And if the Jewish people would have been out, then the destroying force would have hit them, would have destroyed them, in the same way that it would destroy the Egyptians, which were evil, it would also destroy the Jewish people that were righteous. The Gemara continues and says, "Velo yoit," and not only that, meaning not only would we destroy the evil and the righteous, "Elo shemaschil min hatzadikim tchila," he would start destroying the righteous first, meaning that once it got permission to destroy, it would start destroying the righteous people first, and then the evil. And the Gemara brings a verse in from Yechezkel, chapter 21, verse number 8, where it says, "V'ichratim yimeich," that I will cut off from you tzaddik v'rasha, righteous and evil. So we see that righteous comes first and then evil. As an aside, Rashi already asks the question that we know that God of Shal Pesach brings the verse that is written in Shmos, chapter 12, verse number 12, where there it says, "V'ovarti be'eretz Mitzrayim b'alaylo hazeh," that I will go through the land of Egypt in that night. And the Agada writes down that this means ani veloy malach, that I am going myself and not angel. Ve'kesi kol b'chori b'eretz Mitzrayim b'alaylo hazeh, that I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt in that day. The Agada says ani veloy sorav, that I am going to smite and not a sorav, not an angel. V'chol Elohei Mitzrayim es ha-shvatim, and all the gods of Egypt, I'll make judgment. Ani Hashem, aniu v'loy ashliach, I myself and not a messenger. Ani Hashem, only me. Aniu v'loy acher, only me and no other. Then Rashi asks, then clearly Hashem is the one who passed over the land of Egypt. Then what does it mean that once is given permission for the destroying angel, then he doesn't see the difference between the righteous and evil? Hashem is the one who passed over Egypt himself. Then why can't we go out from our doorways during the night, since Hashem himself is passing and he could distinguish between the righteous and evil? Rashi answers that since we know from the verse in Tehillim, chapter 104, verse number 20, where the verse there says, "Toshes choshech v'hi laila," you make darkness and night comes, "boy sirmosh kol chay seyor," in which all the beasts of the forest move about, which means the night time is a time for mazikim, a time for destroying forces. Therefore Hashem was telling the Jewish people that true, that once I pass by, then I can distinguish between righteous and evil. But there is already a force that is available during the night, which is a destroying force, and that force cannot distinguish between righteous and evil. And if you go out during the night, then that force that is always there during the night may hit you, may cause you damage, and therefore Hashem is asking that nobody leaves his house, like that nobody of the Jewish people will be harmed by that force. Meaning that Hashem himself is the one who killed every firstborn of Egypt, but after Hashem did his job, then there is this force that is during the night that destroys, and that force will start destroying the righteous first and then the evil. Therefore, Hashem asked that nobody leaves the house, like that nobody is hurt. Based on this idea, Meforshim want to say that this is the reason why the children during the floods died under the age of 100, because since Hashem gave permission to the destroying force to go and destroy the evil people, then even though those people under 100 were not punishable by the heavenly court, then technically they were righteous, nonetheless Hashem gave permission for the evil force, and the evil force destroys righteous and evil, and he starts with the righteous. Therefore, they all died. And the only reason that Noah survived is because it's written, Noah motzo chein be'en Hashem. Noah found grace in the eyes of Hashem, and because Noah found grace in the eyes of Hashem, and Hashem wanted that the world should continue, therefore Noah and his children survived. Meforshim ask a question based on this answer, that if it is like this answer, that Noah only survived because Motzo Chein Bein Hashem, and technically he should have been destroyed also, because once the destroying angel gets permission to destroy, then he cannot distinguish between righteous and evil, then our original question falls back into place. Meaning, our original question was, why did Hashem made Noah give birth only at the age of 500, when most of the people gave birth in that generation at the age of 100? And we answered that Hashem wanted that the children of Noah be less than 100 years old, in order that they shouldn't be punished by the floods. Meaning that since Hashem does not punish under 100 years old, even if they were not righteous, then they would not be punished, because they were less than 100 years old, and Hashem does not punish them less than that age. But if we say now that even if you are less than that age, and technically you do not deserve punishment, nonetheless, if Hashem punishes the whole world, then Hashem punishes, even if you are less than 100 years old, then what difference does it make if the children of Noah are less than 100 or more than 100? Since we require anyways to have the fact that Noah Motzo Chein Bein Hashem, that Noah found grace in the eyes of Hashem, in order for the children of Noah also to be saved, because since the destroying angel does not distinguish between righteous and evil, then what good is it that they were less than 100 years old? I could have Noah give birth at the age of 100, and these children shouldn't really survive, but the only reason they survive is because Noah Motzo Chein Bein Hashem, because Noah found grace in the eyes of Hashem. In the end, I have to come to that idea anyways. Meaning, we have to say that Noah technically should have been dead, because the destroying angel should have hit the righteous and evil together, and the only reason that he didn't do it is because Hashem prevented him from doing it. Then what difference does it make if they were less than 100 or more than 100? Hashem would have saved the children of Noah anyways, because Noach Motzo Chein Bein Hashem, Noach found grace in the eyes of Hashem. Therefore, the Chasam Sofer de Likutim brings an interesting idea. The Chasam Sofer explains that this that is written on verse in the volume chapter 24, verse number 16, where he mentioned earlier that it says, Lo Yumsu Ovois Albonim, that the fathers should not die by the testimony of children, or simply the fathers should not die on their children, uvanim lo yimsu al avois, and children should not die by their fathers, ish becheto yumasu, that each person should die by his own sin, which says simply that a child should not die by the sins of the father, and a father should not die by the sins of the son. That only applies after Matan Torah. After we receive the Torah, then Hashem made this deal that each person dies by his own sin. But before Matan Torah, before the Torah was given, then it is possible for children to die by the sins of the father. Therefore, the Chasam Sofer explains that since the Dor HaMabul, the generation of the floods, all the parents were evil, then even though the children didn't reach yet the age of 100, nonetheless, the children died by the sins of their father. Because since their father was evil, then automatically the children were punished by the sins of the father. But since Noah was a righteous person, and since Noah is a righteous person, then it's not proper for his children to die by the sins of the father, then the children could only die by their own sin, and since they were under the age of 100, then they were not punishable by death. Meaning, the reason why the children of the flood died, even though they were less than the age of 100, and Hashem normally does not punish under the age of 100, is because they died by the sins of the father, and the fathers were all guilty. Because this that is written on the verse in Devarim, that each person dies by his own sin, that applies only after Matan Torah, after we receive a Torah. But before Matan Torah, then the children died by the sins of the parents. According to this, the Chasam Sofer says, now we understand really the verse in this week's Parsha. In this week's Parsha it says, Uveharn is son of Hashem me'oid lashmidoy. In Aharon, Hashem became very angry to destroy him. And we explained, according to Rashi, that lashmidoy means that his children should die. And we asked the question, why should Aharon's children die, since this clearly is after Matan Torah, and after the Torah was given, then we have the rule that ish becheto yomus, that each person dies by his own sin, and the children do not die by the sins of the father. And the answer is that since we mentioned earlier that one of the tools that Moshe Rabbeinu used in order to help the Jewish people not to be punished by the golden calf is that he broke the luchas, he broke the tablets, and we mentioned that Moshe Rabbeinu, by breaking the tablets, he told Hashem that they are not betrothed to you, because you gave me the contract and I didn't give the contract yet to the Jewish people. Therefore, the Jewish people technically did not receive the Torah yet, and they are considered as they are unmarried, as they are not connected yet totally to Hashem. Then according to what Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to Hashem, comes out that the Jewish people are now judged as they would have been before Matan Torah, before the Torah was given. And as we mentioned, before the Torah was given, then Hashem does punish the children by the sin of the father. Therefore, right after Hashem accepted the prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's written, Uvahar nisan of Hashem me'oit lashmidoy, and Hashem became very angry at Aharon, and he wanted to destroy his children, because since now we are judged as it would have been before the Torah was given, and if we are judged as before the Torah was given, then Hashem punishes the children by the sin of the father. Therefore, the Torah is saying that after Hashem accepted the prayer and the message of Moshe Rabbeinu, then Hashem wanted to destroy Aharon's children, because now they are judged as before the Torah was given, and therefore the children are punishable. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to pray for the children of Aharon, and his prayer helped that half Aharon's children were saved. According to this idea that the Chasam Sofer brings, Sefer Shemeroch now explains, we could understand the connection of why right after it's written the sin of the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, Ve'ato, and now, Israel, Jewish people, Mo Hashem Elokecho Shel Mimach, what is Hashem asking you? Kim Le'iros Hashem Elokecho, only to fear Hashem. Meaning, as we mentioned, that Rameyer learns that we have to make 100 blessings every day, because it's written the word, Mo Hashem Elokecho Shel Mimach, what Hashem is asking of you. And we say, do not read Mo, read Meya, read 100, and we mentioned why is Moshe Rabbeinu bringing this idea of 100 right here. So Sefer Shemeroch explains that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people an important message. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people that Ve'ato, and now. And now it means that now that your tshuva was accepted, meaning that the Medrash in Bereshis Parsha Chof Aleph Simen Vav writes down in Ve'ato Elo Tshuva, that every time the Torah writes the word Ve'ato, and now means a sign of repentance, and it actually brings this proof, Ve'ato Yisrael Mo Hashem Elokecho, and now Israel, what is Hashem asking of you? That means that now that Hashem accepted my argument that you are not betrothed to Hashem, that you are to be judged as before Matan Torah, then now you don't have to worry anymore about sinning up to the age of 20. Now you have to worry, Mo Hashem Elokecho Shoel Imach. Hashem is only asking you up to the age of 100. Do not read Mo, read Meya, that Hashem is asking you only after the age of 100. Meaning that now that you are judged like before Matan Torah, you only have to worry after the age of 100. And after the age of 100, then you have to make sure to have awe of Hashem, to walk in His path, to love Him and serve Him with all your heart and all your soul. But before that, you do not have to worry. And one way to connect yourself to Hashem is by making 100 brachas, 100 blessings. And the reason why specifically 100 is because since Hashem punishes you after the age of 100, therefore they chose 100 as the number of blessings that you have to do every day. And Hashem Yisburach should help that if we do that, then we merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mheira b'yomeinu, Amen.